Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
PM team, Chris Muller, rolling solo. You can stop out to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg as Paul Zeiss broadcasts live starting at 6 o'clock. Great food and drinks, plus the best sports talk around, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. Visit SmaleCars.com for your chance to win a $1,000 gas card to Get Go Cafe and Market from Smale Kia. Jim Colony was on earlier in this show. Interesting note about tomorrow's Friday show. We'll have to see. Donnie will be back. He's out today. Kale's producing. Kale's doing a fine job despite the fact that I have just mercilessly busted his chops all show. But Donnie will be back. Pony won't be. He's in New Orleans. I won't be. I will be at redacted location. It marks the first time in the history of this show, which is almost now 4 years. I think it's September 4th. It'll be 4 years. That it wasn't a major holiday. And both of us are off. So we said, well, who's a large enough presence to fill the shoes of two extremely opinionated, loud human beings who are both been described by Playboy magazine as charismatic, handsome, perhaps the future of radio? Who was laughing here? We settled on Jim Colony. And Jim is going to be on from 2 to 6, I believe he said he was efforting for an in-depth one-on-one sit-down with Mason Rudolph, which, if he pulls that off, that's like going to be like extracting water out of the rock to get good answers from Mason. Jim Rome couldn't do it. If Jim Colony does it, man, we got a whole ball of wax, different ball of wax here. But Jim had some trouble getting his phone connected, which seems to be a theme for training camp today. Anyway, me telling you that Jim is going to be in for us tomorrow is today's peak moment, presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Josh Rountree, Steelers insider at 93.7 The Fan. He and Jeff Hathorn doing yeoman's work at training camp, keeping you covered from all angles, hitting a ton of good stories up there on 93.7thefan.com. He's ready to go now after battling some Colony-esque phone issues. Who starred today, Josh? What was the big takeaway from camp today?
Well, right now it's the massive flying V that's coming over my head, so hopefully you can't hear that, but we're getting bombarded by ducks here. Maybe that's something to do with the cell issues we've been having. But stars today, that's, you know, it's a good question. I think, you know, defensively there's a couple of guys that have started to stand out a little bit to me, and I think part of that goes into the depth side of things. I think we're seeing, you know, maybe a little bit more depth start to emerge. One guy that I'm really curious to watch on Saturday is Delonte Scott. He ended up getting some first team reps with TJ Watt getting an early break today from the action. So he's a guy as an outside linebacker with a position that really needs some depth that I think has looked pretty good so far in camp and looked really good today. Offensively, for starters, once again at the running back position, Jaylen Warren just continues to shine. I mean, this guy, I think I would be very surprised now unless he clearly cannot play any special teams and gets into the preseason game and fumbles or something like that. I would be very surprised if Jaylen Warren does not make this football team, especially with Benny Snell's status being somewhat up in the air right now, Chris. Snell was not on the field at all today. I saw him leave yesterday with a heavy wrap on his right knee. He was limping pretty good. So Jaylen Warren is a guy that I think really no matter what, probably unless something really crazy happens, is going to make this football team. And then also I think Mitch Trubisky had a really good day. I thought Mitch Trubisky, you know, he found out, I guess, earlier in the day that he's going to start Saturday, and he came back and from that, and I thought he played really well. I thought he executed the seven-shot drill really nicely. They scored four touchdowns with him. He threw two of them to George Pickens, who continues to just, you know, every time he's out on the field, he does something pretty spectacular, it seems like. But Trubisky, I thought, overall had, at least from what I have seen to this point, his best day here at camp. And that's, I think, a really positive sign as they ramp up towards his first unofficial but official start as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Josh Rountree joining us right now on the PM team. Josh, what do you make of Mike Tomlin's plan where it seems like it's first team for one quarter, second team for the middle two quarters, third team, the Scrabinos, if you will, along with Kenny Pickett in the fourth quarter? Do you like that plan? Do you think Tomlin will stick to that plan, or there will be a lot of bleeding in and out?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably what we'll see for the first game. I think as we get into games two and then maybe game three, if they're set on Mitch Trubisky being the starter, then he probably won't play game three. I would guess maybe a series, maybe two in that third game. So for right now, I think that's probably the route they're going to go. You know, I think I said this yesterday. I tweeted this out yesterday, Chris, that if I had to rank the quarterbacks by just their performance, not necessarily – you know, where I think they should fall on the depth chart, if I had to rank their performance with the groups that they've played with from start to now, I would probably say that it's Mason Rudolph 1, Kenny Pickett 2, Mitch Trubisky 3. Trubisky made a pretty good push today, so I think that it convolutes things perhaps just a little bit now in that regard. But yeah, I mean, I think for game number one, that's probably fine. I think, you know, more than anything, I think they want to get Pickett into a game situation. They want to see what he can do when he's out on the field with fans in an NFL football game. So you put him in there as the third-team guy for now. You see what he can do with the third team, which is no easy task because the third-team offensive line is not very good. But maybe he can make some plays, and then you go from there. If he performs well with the third team, then I think in game number two of the preseason, you might see maybe a little bit more of Kenny Pickett after that. But I don't know that it's the wrong strategy. I would personally like to see more Pickett with the second team. I think he's looked pretty comfortable when he's been in that situation, but obviously, you know, they have a pretty good eye on him, and I think there's some things that they want to iron out first before they throw him into those waters.
Josh, the thing I have with Trubisky and how Tomlin seems sort of dead set on planning to use him in this game, just play the first quarter, it looks like, unless something really extreme happens one way or the other, is this. He's not a known commodity. He hasn't largely been very good. You just ranked him third in camp, even though you said he had his best day so far. This isn't Roethlisberger. There's not that level of investment in the player financially or years-wise. I would want to see, if he doesn't play that well, say the first two series in this preseason game are three and out, I want him to show a little bit more, even if it takes more than a quarter. Like, this is the guy that you have anointed in action and in word, it seems, as your starter.
Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, especially because I think he just needs the reps. I mean, look, they only have so many padded opportunities here. They only have so many reps to divide up and to go around. And, you know, he goes out there for seven shots, and some days he takes four opportunities from the goal line, and some days he takes three. And, you know, that's the most out of anybody, but it's not like he's out there running it time after time after time. I mean, it's a limited sample, even though they are up here for what seems like a very long period of time. It is still somewhat of a limited sample on actual live reps that they get in this setting. So I'm with you. I mean, I would like to see if he's the guy that's going to be their number one quarterback. Yeah, I would like to see him get an extended look. And maybe that comes in preseason game number two. You know, if he fares well on Saturday, then maybe that second preseason game, they say, hey, let's run this out a little bit. And I think there's maybe some optimism, some hope too, that they'll have more of a complete first team offense for that second game. I mean, and I talked to Trubisky about this earlier today, Chris. I asked him point blank. I said, do you feel like the growth of this first-team offense has been limited by all of the injuries? And he said, yeah. He readily admits that because of the injuries to Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and Pat Freiermuth, I mean, even, you know, Najee Harris and Zach Gentry, I mean, he has not had a complement of receivers, of skill position players, that he is supposed to have with this team.
Oh, he's had George Pickens. That's enough for anybody.
Well, George Pickens is nice, yes, but I think that he needs more weapons around him. This guy is not an elite level quarterback. He needs as much help as he can get, and I think just to get in that rhythm, into that flow with the first team offense, he needs guys available. And he said, look, the only way that you know you can help this team really at the most is if you're out there on the field with us. So I think there's maybe some growing frustration in that regard, and that's nobody's fault. I mean, injuries are injuries, but I do think that Trubisky has some frustrations in that, you know, every day he's seeing, well, Trubisky's struggling. And then really, when he's out there, he's not getting to play with the guys that he's intended to play with.
Josh, is there any, or to what degree is there a level of concern with the Freiermuth or especially the Claypool? For whatever reason, Claypool's injury just sticks out to me. Is there any significant level of concern that you can tell for any of those injured guys you just mentioned?
No, I don't think so. Freiermuth was out there today. He was going through things, so he seems he's not going to play. I would be very surprised if he plays on Saturday. I think they kind of wanted to just ease him back into things today, but he was out there taking a little bit of contact and going through things. So I don't think that's anything significant. That was probably more precautionary than anything. Claypool might be a little farther away. I mean, the shoulder injury is taking, I think, a little bit of time to heal, but he was out on the field after practice, you know, just kind of running routes, jogging. He was playing catch with Chris Oladokun, kind of helping him out afterwards. He's out on the field helping as well during drill. So it's not like he's in a sling or anything like that. You know, whatever it is, I think they're probably just going to give him throughout this week. And I would anticipate that you would see him back on the field relatively soon here. I mean, if it was severe, I don't think we would see him out there catching passes on the field after practice. So that's probably more of a precautionary thing than anything. But at the same time, I mean, look, this is not a situation where you have Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. If these guys are, you know, if they're 90-95%, I would kind of like to see them out there as long as there's no risk of re-injury or anything like that.
Our Steelers insider Josh Roundtree, you can make sure you catch his work at 93.7thefan.com, is joining us right now. This offensive line, I said this, Josh, this is sort of a thesis statement for today's show, is the thing I'm actually watching most closely, good or bad, in this preseason game. Not the quarterbacks, not George Pickens, not Devin Bush and Robert Spillane. It's the offensive line. I mean, where are you at with them right now? Are you feeling more optimistic having watched them a bunch? Do you see development happening? Or you can hear the concern in my tone. Am I right to feel that way?
I have concerns as well. I do. And look, I mean, there have been times where, from a run-blocking standpoint, the first team offensive line has looked pretty good. When Jalen Warren's been back there a couple of times, he's ripped off some really big runs up the middle, right past Kendra Green at left guard and Mason Cole at center. And I think that's an encouraging thing. I also don't know how much of that is on the offensive line's improvement or the fact that this was the worst run defense in the league last year, and that's who they're going against, and maybe they haven't gotten better. I mean, that's what we have to find out Saturday, and what we start to find out Saturday, and what we probably won't really know for, you know, maybe even another couple of months here is how much better these groups are. What I can tell you is I definitely do have concerns, especially at right tackle with Chukwuma Okorafor. He's struggling in pass blocking. T.J. Watt, and look, it's no easy assignment going against T.J. Watt. There's not a right tackle in the league that wants to line up across from number 90 in black and gold. But T.J. Watt's getting the best of him time after time after time, and Chukes is struggling. He has not, I don't think, had a very good camp, which is concerning coming off the contract that he signed, and it's not something that you want to see out of your starting right tackle to begin with. So overall, I'm not totally optimistic about this group of offensive linemen yet. But again, I want to see what they do in an actual game setting against a live defense that is not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Josh, what's your favorite Billy Joel song?
Hold on.
I shouldn't have put you on the spot. That's a Starkey-esque move. Give me your top.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top three Joel songs.
Honestly, I'm not that big of a Joel fan. To be honest, But
there's a lot of people here at the Rivers Casino who are here to see Billy Joel, and they're going to go over after they have a couple drinks, and they're going to be singing Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, and they're going to be they're very pissed off to hear you say that, Josh. So you better recover and give us a good Joel deep cut that you like. So, you can even say 80s Joel if you want to.
We strictly play 80s Joel, sir. It's not a deep cut, but I do have a very special place in my heart for Piano Man. That was the last song that we played after my wedding when we all went out as a large group of friends. We were at a bar in Station Square, and we closed the place down playing Piano Man. So we all kind of got in a circle and sang along. So that always holds a very special place. I like Billy Joel. I'm just not that big of a fan. Like, I don't think I would pay to go, I guess. But it's nothing against him, because he's a great musician. It's just not my thing.
I think we closed out my wedding with Darude's Sandstorm and Ooh. People doing cartwheels and somersaults in the middle.
A Penn State thing?
No, that was a North Catholic thing. That was very much a North. No, Penn State has tried to claim Zombie Nation, Seven Nation Army. They have tried to claim multiple songs as being the creation of their student section. Are you aware that 108,000 people fit in Beaver Stadium, Josh?
That's
have you heard?
That's what I've heard. I've been to two games there before, and there were not 108,000 people at either of those games. But
91,262 for Youngstown State doesn't sound as good as 108,000 strong.
Yeah, no, That's not gonna sell.
Josh, last thing for you, and this is more of a broad-based question. So you've had a good number of practices you've seen out there now. You've gotten a chance to – I would imagine – correct me if I'm wrong here, but you've gotten a chance to make some maybe more wholesale evaluations of players, at least as far as they've performed at camp, right? And Tomlin talks mm-hmm. about how he wants to see him in a stadium. He loves to say stadium-like environment, et cetera, teams in other color uniforms trying to stop them, blah, blah, blah. Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, any significant movement from the start of camp until right now, Josh, from Devin Bush to, like, show you that he has a pulse, that he understands he's in a serious competition, that, like, his future in the NFL in some ways might be at stake?
Yeah, I mean, look, he has not at any point to me looked like a top 10 pick out here. He has not looked like that player. That's not to say that he doesn't look like a respectable starting inside linebacker in the NFL. Like, I've heard people say, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, he's a disaster, you know, he's going to be the biggest bust in Steelers history. Like, I think we need to pump the brakes on that a little bit. Like, I don't think it's been as bad with Devin Bush as some people want to say. And I do think that he has a place in this defense. I do think we could see more Robert Spillane maybe than we anticipated, and I don't think that's necessarily a knock on Devin Bush. I think that's because Robert Spillane's had a pretty good camp. He plays the run really, really well, and I think if they're going up against a team that is a run-heavy team, that you might see more Robert Spillane than Devin Bush. And part of that, yes, is a knock against Bush, because when you draft a guy in the top 10, you expect him to be an every-down linebacker and a big part of your defense, a huge part of your defense from years to come. But, you know, I do want to see him get into live game action. Like, I want to see him, you know, from the press box at Acrisure Stadium, out there on the field going up against the live offense on the other side. I think things change, so I'm not ready to give up on him in that regard yet. I don't think it's been as disastrous as people think, but it could definitely be better. I mean, there's definitely moments where I think, you know, man, like, you know, Bush was a little slow getting there, or he gets beat in a one-on-one situation by a running back, and you're just like, man, like, okay, in a game situation, that can't happen, and it happens out here from time to time. So, has it been great? No. Has it been terrible? No. It's just kind of been somewhere in the middle. And if he can progress from that, then I don't think that's such a bad thing right now. It's just a matter of, can he, you know, start to build and build back to somewhere close to where he was before the injury.
I need to see him just be physical. I want to see him be willing to put a hat on a guy. That's been by far the biggest, like, marker or tell for me with Devin Bush is, does Devin Bush look like he wants to put a stick, you know, put the stick on somebody?
Yep. Yep, no, I agree with you. I mean, that was my biggest knock against this defense last year, is that you know, yeah, they were banged up front, but you can put a Band-Aid on that a little bit if you have a linebacker who is willing to go play downhill and just, you know, put his head down and knock the crap out of somebody. And Devin Bush was never that player throughout the course of last year. He played timid. I thought he played scared at times. He did not at any point look comfortable. And I talked to him back in minicamp, and he said that. I mean, he said that he did not really at any point last year feel confident running on that knee. And I think, you know, look, a lot of people have criticized him. There's been some things, rightfully so, to criticize him for. But I do think that's a very real issue with some athletes, is when they come off a serious knee injury, they play tentative and they don't trust themselves fully. And I think maybe, you know, maybe Saturday, if he gets out there and he runs around a little bit, and he lays a shoulder into a couple people, that he starts to get it. And that's what you have to hope if you're the Steelers, because and Devin Bush, because they're at a very, very crucial spot right now where, you know, they're maybe not going to be as good as they'd like up front as far as the run game goes, but he could help a ton in that regard. But you're right, Chris, he has to be physical. He has to play downhill, and he cannot play timid and scared like he did last season.
You have to watch one, and you can only watch one. The Field of Dreams game tonight or the Steelers-Seahawks game? Or no. Any random non-Steelers preseason game, which are you watching?
I'm gonna go with the preseason game. Because
good
it's
answer.
I thought the Field of Dreams game was awesome last year. It was, when they did it for the first time, I thought it was a really cool event. I love that movie. And so I watched it last year.
I hated that movie really because good. No one says want to have a catch. They say, do you want to play catch?
Well, okay. That's fair.
I think they should have a major league game, and they should have never torn down Cleveland Municipal Stadium, actually technically County Stadium in Milwaukee where that was filmed, and they should have teams reenact that movie every year.
I actually just watched, I literally 3 nights ago, I think it was on
TV. Because it was
TV.
On Paramount Plus.
Yeah,
because you were watching it. You were watching it the same as I was before I went to go do the sports call, and I had to I DVR'd the last half hour because I had to leave my house just to watch it again.
Yeah, it is. It's an elite sports film. I heard Starkey and Ron talking earlier about their favorite baseball movies, and it didn't even get mentioned.
Major League should be number one. It's better than any of those. It's better than any of those movies because it does one thing that too many baseball movies don't do. It never takes itself too seriously, because all those the natural, all those other movies get caught up in this nonsense about the deeper meaning of baseball. Major League is a guy talking to his bat, a guy telling Dorn, you know, enough of that Ole crap. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful movie.
Roger Dorn is one of the all-time detestable characters, but comes back with a huge redemption after he punches Vaughn at the end and then gives him a hug. Like, you hate the guy, and then at the end of it, you know, he puts his body on the line, and then he punches Vaughn for his actions with Dorn's wife, and they embrace out on the field. So
that's real life.
Story at the end for
that's real life, Josh.
That's how it goes in major league clubhouses.
Josh, thank you very much.
Wait, so what is this? Colony. He's filling. So I heard you mention the Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
Colony got it. He got that interview. It's coming tomorrow. Mason Rudolph and Colony one-on-one. They were out on the field for a long time. The longest interview I've seen any single person conduct here at Steelers training camp. Jim Colony and Mason Rudolph. So
how early in the interview do you think Colony brings up his hole-in-one that Mason congratulated him for?
It has to be within the first 30 seconds. I heard that there was a butt slap involved.
Whose butt was slapped? Who did the slapping? Who was the slapper and the slappy?
I believe Jim got his butt slapped, a congratulatory slap from Mason.
Oh, my God.
Josh. This is the guy that got a hug from Antonio Brown once in the locker room. A hug.
I believe Jim got his butt slapped by Mason, correct?
That is the rumor that I have heard.
Holy crap. All right.
I mean, this guy got a hug from Antonio Brown and a butt slap from Mason Rudolph.
I mean,
it's legendary.
I can't think of anything to add to that wouldn't get me in very big trouble with the FCC and our bosses, so I'm going to leave it right there, Josh. Thank you.
I think that's a good leaving off point. Thanks, Chris.
Josh Rountree, Steelers Insider. Check out his work, Jeff Hathorn's work. It's excellent. Those guys are doing an awesome job at 93.7thefan.com, covering camp from every conceivable angle. Did you get... Did anybody else have Jim Colony getting his butt slapped by Mason Rudolph today during an interview? No. Josh Roundtree had it, and now you do too because you listened to this show. That was really our peak moment today, but I already told you that. But I will tell you, Josh appeared on the Fan Hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Zeiss is next. Kale, how was it today, buddy? Did you survive?
Had a great time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.